IsraelSin.com.
Okay, let's start out by we're either once again in Jerusalem or we're still in Jerusalem, depending on the last program that we put up. We're in the Katamon neighborhood, a very, very nice neighborhood of old Arab-style houses. We happen to be in the house that was once the embassy of Venezuela, interestingly. And we're speaking with, and I would like you to tell us your name and your title and position.
My name is Yehuda Pash. I am the Director of Communications for the One Family Fund.
I assume that there's a explanation of what the One Family Fund is when you introduce the fund to people that you must have said 12 times, and maybe we can go for number 13.
Well, it's not pre-recorded, but I'll describe what the organization is. The One Family Fund is the central organization providing comprehensive assistance to terror victims in Israel. We've been in existence since September 2001, and we were founded at that point by a 12-year-old girl who decided to forego her bat mitzvah party and give the money to terror victims instead in response to the bombing of the Sabaro restaurant in Jerusalem that had taken place a month before. Her family is a relatively wealthy business family in Jerusalem, and by the time they had finished distributing the money that they would have spent on her bat mitzvah, they had decided that they couldn't stop, and they established the organization at that point. Since then, the organization has raised and distributed over $15 million in assistance, whether it's financial assistance or programs, to 2,500 victims of terror and their families, totaling about 15,000 people.
There seems to be a phenomenon in the last years of private welfare organizations, private people coming on to help, where before we were used to funds like the Jewish National Fund and the Fund for the Israel Defense Forces and Kupat Cholim funds and things of that nature. Were you a part of this change? Do you understand this process?
Well, they're very different questions. I'm not necessarily sure that it was a change. I think more that the existence of such nonprofit organizations demonstrates exactly what is special about the Jewish nation that doesn't exist anywhere else. This morning on the radio, we heard about how, the Israeli north, with the fighting that's been going on now on the Lebanese border, has turned into New Orleans. One of the radio commentaries said, "The Israeli north is New Orleans. End of story." In the United States, when the hurricane hit New Orleans, there were a bunch of community organizations that sprung up just to help in that situation and have since disappeared, but most of the assistance came from government and from disaster relief organizations. In Israel, the assistance is coming from nonprofits. The government does provide some financial assistance, but that's where it stops. And what we found is that victims of terror, more often than not, need to know that there's somebody out there who understands what they're going through, that there's somebody that they can associate with as terror victims, that there's a place where they can feel free to unleash all of their pain and all of their sorrow and all of their feelings, and to celebrate new things that happen in their families as well. And the government bureaucracy is not built for that. The organization, in addition to providing financial assistance, provides a whole range of programs where terror victims and their families can feel that they're part of an accepting society, an accepting environment, where they can feel that they're part of a family. And the name of the organization is One Family, but that's also literally what we do.
It sounds like you have a lot of people working with psychological, helping psychologically, social workers, people of that nature. Is that part of what you're funding?
It is part of what we're funding. We're sitting in the lobby of the second floor of the building, but down on the side of the lobby there's a room where it's an office for a staff psychologist that's on our staff full-time. We have a social worker who's on our staff full-time, and we have other alternative therapists that provide help. So on this level of the building, we have rooms available for support groups, whether it's art therapy or whether it's massage therapy or movement, dance, music, any kind, jewelry making, Bach flower remedies, any kind of support group that people can think of, we have here because we feel that it's important to bring victims of terror out of their homes, out of their sorrow, to a place where they can socialize with others who've gone through similar circumstances. And we offer them the supportive environment in which to do it. It's both. It's getting them out and bringing them in. Our massage therapist is a Russian woman who was trained as a software engineer and was brilliant at her work. And was driving to work one morning and drove through an ambush, and her car came under gunfire, and she was hit by flying glass. After that, she recuperated and went back to work, but found that she couldn't look at a computer screen anymore because her eyesight had been affected. So she went on her own initiative, retrained as a massage therapist, and is now giving us her services 5 days a week, helping other victims of terror. At the same time, they come in here for relaxation, they come in here for a massage, everything is fine and wonderful. But while they relax from their tension, the tension leaves them in more ways than one. It's not just physically. They feel to a person that they can talk to this woman as a former terror victim herself and explain to her all of what they're feeling and all of what they're going through and all of their pain and all of their tension, to the point where she's becoming almost like a social worker. And when she feels that there's something she can't handle, she brings it to our coordinators, to our victims' liaisons, to the social workers, to the psychologists, and says, look, this is what this victim is talking about. Maybe we should go and do, you know, maybe there's something more that they need. Maybe they need some more active support. Maybe they need financial assistance. Maybe the husband lost a job and they need to help finding another job. Maybe they need help to move to a better apartment that's more accessible for them. Maybe the children are acting out and they need a different kind of an educational framework. All of that is assistance that we can give that we wouldn't necessarily have known about, except for the fact that this terror victim came for a massage.
When you say you're a central organization, does that mean you deal with things like the Kobe Mandel Foundation and the various other private initiatives helping people who were terror victims?
We don't deal with the other organizations as a matter of course. We feel that in the Jewish nation, there's a tremendous willingness and even need for people to help. People themselves need to help, they want to help, they feel they have to help, and that's one of the traits that we have here. And we're not going to stop that. Every nonprofit organization in this country was started for a reason, because somebody had a feeling that they wanted to help, and it's not up to us to take it away from them or even to tell them that we're better. The difference between us and an organization like Kobe Mandel is that they generally provide niche programs. They'll provide an answer or they'll provide a response to needs in a particular field. So Kobe Mandel will have summer camps for kids and retreats for parents. The One Family Fund provides all of the assistance, the retreats for parents and the camps for kids and financial assistance and the massage therapy and the support groups and retreats for other segments of the terror victim population. And unfortunately, there are so many of them that we can call it that already. Every kind of assistance that a terror victim needs is the kind of assistance that they can turn to us to get.
Do you have much of it? Is there any feelings of competition with the more established charities and like I was mentioning, Magen David Adom and so on and so forth?
To a certain extent there is, because basically we're all competing for the same donations. But Magen David Adom knows that we exist and we know that they exist, and we don't duplicate our services. Magen David Adom does fantastic work in their field. We do fantastic work in ours, and we both realize that. For a person who's interested in making a donation to help the people of Israel in general, they've got a decision to make, and that's where the competition comes in. But for a person who wants to donate to help victims of terror, we're the answer. And for a person who wants to help to donate an ambulance, we have no use for an ambulance, so Magen David Adom is the answer. The main issue where the organizations come in is how good their public relations are. That's what my job is. And, you know, in terms of how best to go after and to attract the support of the Jewish community and even the non-Jewish community abroad.
I know that there's a very politically oriented group called Victims of Arab Terror, I believe. Do you have any political position, or do you espouse any kind of particular political line or support?
Well, the Victims of Arab Terror is a political organization, and their activity centers mainly around political representation for victims of terror. They've been doing their job for the last 20 years. I'm familiar with what they've done, even from 1989 and 1990, from the first Intifada. And what they do is generally very good work, and it's one person doing the whole job. One Family Fund is not a political organization. We do not espouse any political opinions other than the justness of the Israeli cause and the right of the Jewish people to live in the land of Israel.
One of the questions many people have concerning charities is the amount, the percentage, or the amount of their dollar or shekel that goes to the victim, to the person who is in need, and the relative to the amount that's used to support the organization. How does this organization fit in?
I think the organization fits in very well. I've worked in the nonprofit field for about 10 years, and I have never seen an organization that works on as low an overhead as we do. Of every dollar that is spent in Israel, between 4.5 and 5.5 cents goes to overhead, and the rest of it goes to victim support, whether it's financial assistance or whether it's paying for retreats or holiday programs or camps or support groups or any other kind of victims assistance that we run.
We have a new and growing population of victims in this current war. Do you consider them victims of terror? Do they fit into your Misgaret, into your idea of a victim and therefore receive support from you?
Well, the victims from northern Israel basically can be broken down into three groups. One are military victims, one are civilian victims, and one are displaced families. We're not helping displaced families as a matter of course unless they are terror victims themselves, meaning unless they've been wounded or bereaved, either before this war or during. Civilians who've been killed or wounded are going to be getting assistance from us. They already are getting assistance from us, and military families as well. The assistance that they're getting right now is emergency assistance. It's visiting families in hospitals. It's delivering food packages. It's emergency financial assistance, a few hundred shekels because the banks are closed and the people still need to go shopping. Later on, when things calm down a little bit, as they hopefully will not in the not too distant future, we will be returning more towards a balanced operation in the organization, and we'll be able to go and assess more long-term needs for each of these families as well.
We have another new group of clients, a group of terror victims, and those are the Arabs in northern Israel. Are there thoughts, plans, and ideas of dealing with that part of the population?
Well, we've been dealing with the Arab population in Israel from the time that the organization started. There have been other Arab victims of terror as well, whether a bus driver involved in a bombing or a restaurant owner involved in a suicide attack there. We don't shy away from it, and they're considered terror victims just like anybody else. The thing that we have to keep in mind, though, is that the Israeli Arab community, the Druze community, the Bedouin community are very insulated communities. If it's found that an Israeli Arab, for instance, is accepting help from an Israeli organization, there's a danger in some communities of the victim being ostracized by their own community, which would make them a victim a second time. We have to keep that in mind and respect that kind of a relationship. And if an Arab victim of terror tells us, thank you very much, but I can't accept your help because of this, then we have to accept that. What we do in such circumstances is we leave them a business card with a name and phone number, and we say, we understand, we accept, I want you to know that we're here when you need us. Please don't hesitate to call me, and we'll give you whatever assistance you need. We can't force them to take it.
And are there other projects that you are working in specifically dealing with this current war?
Well, basically, the war right now is just a matter of emergency assistance. It's a day-to-day type of thing. One day to the next, we've been sending food packages to bomb shelters in the north, games and toys for kids to keep them occupied in the summer. We had a group of donors came in last week on a lightning mission for a day and a half with money and 7 duffel bags filled with games and toys, and we escorted them up and down the country last week distributing everything that they had brought. That was almost like a dream for the organization because it got us out into the field in a way that we could show the victims themselves that there are people even outside the country who care about them enough to donate and who care about them enough to come and visit. And that's another one of the underlying missions of the organization. When we say that we're all one family, we're not referring just to terror victims. We're referring to the donor communities. We're referring to friends and supporters abroad. And inviting them to join the family as well in whatever way they can.
Would I be correct in assuming that before all this focus on the north, you were focused also on the area around the Gaza Strip?
We've been focused across the country. The way that the organization is built is that we've divided the country into 5 geographic areas, each of which has a coordinator for the entire area whose job it is to maintain contact with all of the victims' families in that area. Each of the 5 areas is handling between 400 and 600 families. With whatever needs they need they have, whether it's financial, whether it's just a phone call once in a while to say, how are you doing, whether it's an invitation to a Rosh Hashanah party or a Sukkot event, or whether it's delivering food, Mishloach Manot, food packages for Purim. We're in touch with all of the families all of the time. You know, we'll send them a gift for a wedding, for a bar mitzvah, for a new birth in the family. We will be with them at memorial services. We will provide tuition support if there's a need for it. Anything that the family needs that they themselves can't supply because of a terrorist attack is something that they come to us. And the way that they come to us is through their regional coordinator, who then brings all of the requests into the main office. There's a committee that discusses them every couple of weeks, and checks or whatever other assistance is needed is sent out to them.
Is there a particular message you'd like to leave us with as we leave?
The message basically is this. The state of Israel is the home of the Jewish nation. That doesn't necessarily mean that the entire Jewish nation lives here. Unfortunately, they don't. But it's your home. It's our home. And just like your home, wherever it is that you live, the four walls and the garage and the front lawn, is the home of your family, the state of Israel is the home of the Jewish family. And we're all one family, whether we live there or not. The responsibility of a Jew doesn't end with his own nuclear family. It extends to his entire national family. And the responsibility of anybody who's listening to this program would be towards the rest of the family as well. We, as the One Family Fund, are here to help realize the fulfillment of that responsibility. And we're also here to help provide whatever kind of assistance your family members need as they stand on the front lines in the state of Israel.
As we close this program, I'd like to mention to our listeners that on our links page is the website of the One Family Fund, and I'm sure that in their webpage is something that will help you contribute to their work and to the health and welfare of many people in Israel. Thank you very much. Thank you.